Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning, good morning.
Welcome to God's Resurrection Power Church of Christ Ministry. My name is Apostle David Callender. I'm your host. And Holy Spirit is our overseer. We are your Bible-believing ministry that is teaching, preaching, and reaching the lost souls of this sin-sick world for the kingdom of heaven in the name of Jesus Christ. We are here Monday through Friday from 11:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 3:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and Saturdays from 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time until 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, or until whenever the Holy Spirit allow us to close the line down. We no longer comes on Sunday, because on Sunday we are preaching in the church building in Dorchester, where we are the pastor over there. So we are excited that God is building the church. He is building the church of Jesus Christ is what's being built. Hallelujah. He's the one drawing the people to the house. So I lose one of my computers last night. It just went down, and it decided that the battery is not going to charge. So we're going to have to. And that's the one that plays my music without commercial. So I have to try to figure something else out and call YouTube and see how they can switch that to the set of computer without commercials. So we bless the name of the Lord of Jesus Christ. Anyway, we thank God for this day, for truly this is the day that the Lord has made, and we are rejoicing. We are glad. Hallelujah, glory to God. We know that God is a way maker, and without him, you'll be walking in the wrong direction. So you need to always trust God to lead us this day.
Now I love to pray, to declare the praises of God. And the Bible has a great visual for us when it comes to praise. It talks about putting on praise almost like a garment. It says, put on the garment of praise for the Spirit of Jesus. And when I think of putting on praise like a garment, I almost think of Joseph's coat. You know, the coat of many colors that he had. When his brothers saw that coat, they were like, oh, that's Dad's favorite. They knew because they saw what he was wearing. Well, it's similar with us. When we put on praise like a garment, it lets everyone around you know they don't walk alone. They know who God is. They know what God has done. They know what God is going to do, and they are clothed in the praises of their mighty God. And I can't think of a better way for us to go into 2022 than clothed in the praises of God. Amen? Would you join with us? Let's continue and let's clothe ourselves in praise today.
You are the miracle worker, promise keeper, God in the darkness, my God.
Thank you.
Goodness of God. Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for another day to come. And bow down before you this day. We ask you, O God, to have mercy and to extend your grace to us today. Lord God, we know we can't do this. We know that we can't do this without you. So we come to you in obedience. We come to you in love, knowing that you are able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask, according to the power that works in us. We are thanking you right now, Lord God. We are giving you praise, O God, for what you have done, what you are doing, and what you will do, because we know that you are the mighty one. You are the great I am. You are the land of the tribe of Judah. We trust you. We depend on you. We rely on you for all that we must say and all that we must do, because we can't do anything. And even if we try, we can't do anything without you, O God. We bless your name this morning, Jesus, for being the great I am, for being the lily of the valley, for being the early morning star, the one who shines bright, who never loses his power, who is ever faithful. Oh, God, constantly giving us what we need, but not what we deserve. You are faithful. We bless you this day. We honor you this day, Jesus. We praise you this day, Jesus, and we thank you. Lord, bless the word, O God, that we are about to release this day. Bless it, O God, that it would be continually be powerful, anointed, as we present your word this day. In Jesus' holy name. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your glory. This morning we are teaching on call to repentance, call to repentance. In other words, you can either say a call to turn away from sin, call to turn away from sin and turn to Jesus, call to repentance. This is what we're teaching on this morning. Let's go in the book of Revelation in the mighty name of Jesus, chapter 3, the book of Revelation, chapter 3. Glory to God. The book of Revelation, chapter 3. What a powerful, anointed word. Jesus, we thank you. The book of Revelation, chapter 3. Let's start at verse 1. And here, John says, "And unto the angel of the church of Sardis writes, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. For I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. Verse 5 says, he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, And I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess him before my Father and before his angels. Verse 6. He that have an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Here in the book of Revelation, chapter 3, the Lord is speaking concerning the seven churches. But this particular church, he's saying to this church, you have a name which say that thou livest and are dead. Some folk are going around proclaiming that they're full of the anointing, but really and truly they are empty. They are dying. You can almost say they are dead. Jesus said so. He said so in the book of Revelation right here. Sardis is a military stronghold in antiquity. Sardis had a reputation for being impregnable. In other words, like they couldn't be conquered. Though in fact it had been conquered twice in its history. Archaeologists have uncovered a massive temple there dedicated to an Artemis. This is a god. Hallelujah. One of those false gods. The message of the seven churches of Revelation, the one phrase identifying the glorified Christ here in Revelation chapter 1, verse 4, verse 16, and verse 20. You are dead. Although they appear alive, they are spiritually dead. This church received the hardest correction from Jesus. Now, this church received the hardest censor among the seven churches. He said, be on alert. Through a series of imperatives, Christ calls this church to repentance. Christ is calling us today, you and I, us, the church here in the United States, the church in the Caribbean, the church all over the world, he is calling them to repentance. He is calling the church to repentance. We are excited and we are delighted. We are amped up to preach on prosperity. We are amped up to saying, well, you're seeing preachers on Facebook saying, well, you are going to be rich in the next month. In the next 30 days, you're going to be a millionaire, claim it. In the next 30 days, you're going to have this big house. In the next 30 days, you're going to have this big car. In this next 30 days, you're going to meet your husband. You're going to meet your wife. They're telling all of these prophetic lies. All of these. And the Bible talks about in the last days, there are going to be prophets coming with all types of things. And we've seen it. Look on Facebook. King this, queen that, all type of names they have on Facebook. And they're prophesying. But God says to the church, he says that you have a name that say that you live it, but in reality, you're dead. He said that they're spiritually dead. You have churches that are jumping all over the pastor, the bishop, and rolling on the floor. You understand? Doing all types of stuff. But in reality, there's not the Spirit of God. They have the Kundalini Spirit. They're speaking in some type of unknown tongue, but it's not the tongue that came from the Spirit of God. You understand? They're putting on all of these acts to entice people to give. You know what I'm saying? I was watching an encounter from Nigeria. And the pastor, this young man had came to the United States and lived for many years. And he was sending all his money back to his fiance, so he thought, to build a home. And that when he got back there, they would still have enough money to build this big house. You know, the money in Nigeria, actually about three times or four times or even more. double, triple. So when he got back to Nigeria, she didn't have the house. She has sold all the money to the pastor. And they had this big house. And the pastor that was going had built the house to sell the house and make 3 times as much money. So the man goes over there with some go-between people that would represent here. And he wants to kill the pastor. Oh, he is all on fire. Because he said the pastor has lied to his fiancée. And she's running and hiding behind the pastor. We got to understand that don't go for everything that these folk are telling you. If it doesn't line up in the word of God, don't you receive it. Don't you get enticed by the stuff that they're saying. If it's not in the word, leave it alone. You know that God requires you to give 10% of whatever you make. That's the requirement. He requires us to give 10%. If I make $100, I have to give $10. Because that's what the word of God says. If anything has come that is not that, then I got to leave it alone. Cannot run off with what I'm hearing that some preachers saying. If you give $1,000, you're going to get a big house. If you give $1,000, God is going to do this for you. And if you give this, oh, you don't have to worry about it. You can put it on your credit card. And if you put it on your credit card, God is going to honor it. He is going to give you this, knowing that when you put it on your credit card, you're going to have to pay almost, you're going to have to pay a great interest on it, and you're going to have to pay once in a half the month that you pay. You know, by the time you pay off the $1,000, you're paying something like almost $1,600 or something like that, $600 in interest if you don't pay a lot of time. You're just paying the minimum. So you have to pay attention to what they're saying. God say they act like they're alive, but they're dead. This is what he says. Now let's jump down. Let's go down in the word here. Oh, Lord Jesus. He says, verse 2 says this, be on the alert and strengthen the remaining things that are about to die. Hallelujah. Be on alert. Hallelujah. Strengthen what you have left, your spiritual life. Hallelujah. Stuff is about, you're about to lose everything. Everything is about to go topsy-turvy. So he says, strengthen everything that remains. Everything that remains, strengthen. This is what God is saying. Now, through a series of imperatives, Christ calls the church to repentance. Understand what the Savior is doing. About to die. Because the believers in Sardis was complacent and lacked spiritual vigilance, they were close to death. Hallelujah. How do you get the spiritual things that you want? How do you get spiritual life? You know? How do you get spiritual endurance? By studying the word of God. By studying the gospel. By living the gospel. Becoming who God said you are. Or you're supposed to be. By living it. There's a lot of temptations that we face from day to day. A lot of temptations. As children of God. It's going to come to you, to us. Because why? The enemy desires to sift us like wheat. He doesn't want us to go forth in the things of God. Do you hear me today? So, you have not defiled their clothing. He said that there's a few people. Okay, in verse 3 he says, remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon you. He said, now watch and pray. You have received the doctrine. You are receiving the truth each day. God is speaking to us each day through the word of God. Hallelujah. We must, verse 2, chapter 2 says, verse 5 says, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. Hallelujah. Go and practice what you heard. Practice what you've been told. Every day you're getting sound doctrine. So God is speaking here. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ is speaking to the church. And he said to us that we have to remember all that we have been taught. The truth, the word. Hallelujah. If you are not getting sound doctrine, there's nothing for you to remember. Folk tell you that you can claim it, name it and claim it. Put you in this microwave mindset. That if you just name it and claim it, you will have it. That's all you need. They don't tell you that you have to live holy. He says, if you love him and if you walk upright before him, no good thing. That's what he says. If you love him and you walk upright before him, no good thing will withfall from you. This is what God says. But they're telling you that all you have to do is name it and claim it, and it will be yours. Doesn't matter how you're living, God is going to bless you. That's what they're telling you. Don't be fooled. I'm telling you. I've come to tell the truth. I love you enough to tell the truth every time that I come before the microphone. Every time I go on the altar of God, I love the people of God so much that I got to tell the truth. I can't lie to you. Don't waste your time with all of this foolishness that they're telling you, that if you just speak it, you can have it. And you're living like a dog. You're living like a devil. And you think God is going to bless you. Don't go for that stuff. You have to repent. Repent and turn. Leave your wicked ways. Hallelujah. Stop living like the world. Hallelujah. We are in the book of Revelation chapter 3. We're talking about call to repentance. Call to repentance. Hallelujah, glory to God. Hallelujah, glory to God. I'm putting in the summary. One of my computers just died. And so I'm just a little off a little bit today. For him. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk upright before him. No good thing. This is a promise that God says. If you walk upright before him, it means you got to live according to his word. Here in the book of Revelation chapter 3, we read verse 1 to 6. And verse 4 says, but you have a few people in Sardis who have not defiled their clothing, and they will walk with me in white, representing righteousness, because they are worthy. Hallelujah. Now, this clothing that he's talking about is not the clothes that you bought from Macy's or Nordstrom or Walmart or Kmart or any of them places. This clothing that he's talking about that they have not defiled, he's talking about the righteous walk, the righteous clothing, the way of life. Hallelujah. Glory to God. They have not defiled their spiritual life. You understand? So they are worthy to walk with him in white, representing righteousness or holiness. Okay? So he says, he went on and says in verse 5, he that overcometh the sin shall be clothed in white linen or white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. See, we're looking forward to this. This is why we have to make sure we pay attention. The Father Christ offers encouragement to those few in Sardis who had not compromised with the surrounding culture. The use of clothing imagery may allude to Sardis' prominent garment industry. Now, it's important for we know that God is watching us. He is seeing, he is hearing, he knows all things. Why? Because he's an omnipotent God. He's omniscient, he's omnipresent. He's all-knowing, all-seeing God. Hallelujah. So there's no place that we can go that we can hide from him. There's no secret that we can hide that he don't know. Hallelujah. So we got to make sure that we have to go to Psalm 84. Go to Psalm 84. Let's put this one in there, Psalm 84. And then we'll get back to this and jump some other places quick. Psalm 84 is jumping all the way over. Psalm 84, verse 11, I believe it is. Psalm 84. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory, and no good thing will he withhold from them that walketh uprightly. Hallelujah. If you honor God, if you'll be obedient to God, if you walk upright, see, that means you're going to trust him. He says, O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. Verse 12. If you walk upright before the Lord, if you're obedient to God, God's going to bless you. You wonder why folk are coming up to you and wonder, can I pay for your lunch today? Can I pay for your dinner? I got you at the gas pump. You at the cash register, the grocery store, and somebody comes and says, oh, sir, no way, I got you. Ma'am, I got you. And some people get so prideful. They say, no, I got it. You know, I can pay for it myself. No, God wants to bless you for walking it right before you, but you're going to try to say, push your chest up. No, because some man, because he's a white man, he's an Asian man, he's an African, Asian, characteristics be of the man be of, whatever country is from, whatever culture, it doesn't matter. You got to see that God is about to bless you, because that's what he says. You know, I'm walking now. I said, Lord, put somebody in my path to bless me today. Lord, I'll be over at the church when I come. Let somebody bless me, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Somebody trying to mess up your car. And God put somebody to say, look, no, don't touch that car. That's the preacher car. That belongs to a man of God. That belongs to a woman of God. God is blessing you. God is protecting that which concerneth thee. He said that. I would perfect that which concerneth thee. That's what God says. But you don't believe that. You know why? Because you tell the people, no, don't worry about it. I got it. I can pay my own gas. I said, oh, thank you so much. Thank you so much. Put my card back in my pocket. I put my cash back in my pocket. Thank you so much. I know God is doing this. Hallelujah. Because he told me in the word. See, when God tell you something in the word, you see this. That's why you got to put the word in your belly. You got to have the word in your heart. Because when you have the word in your heart and things start to happen, You have something to look back on. It's just like you got a little notebook in your pocket. You have a little notebook in your, but it's small in your breast pocket. And something happened. You said, let me just look at this notebook. Oh yes, I was just reading this yesterday, and God showed me this. He said, I will perfect that which concerns thee. So I see why God is protecting my kids. I see why he's protecting my this thing is not happening to my son, my daughter, my grandkids, because God says that. He perfect that which concerns me. He said, I'll keep you in perfect peace. I'll keep you in perfect peace. Your mind is staying on. So everything that's coming out, you can't even bombard, trying to take you out of focus. And it can't take you out. Why? Because your mind is on Christ. He said, I keep you in perfect peace. All the disturbance that's going on in your neighborhood, on your job, in the city, can't disturb you. Why? Because your mind is stayed on Christ. This is what he says. Jesus. He says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. God is speaking to the churches. Jump down to verse 11. He said, behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. In other words, what you have been taught, what you have been studying, what you heard of God, hold on to. Live it. Don't let nobody distract you, delay you, or cause you to sidestep, or cause you to backslide. Keep on doing what thus says the Lord. If it's not about that, leave it alone. Leave it alone, like I said yesterday. Connect with people that's going to help you to grow, not people that are going to fool you with a whole bunch of stuff, whole bunch of grievance, and have you upset with this body and next body. You know, when people come against you, listen to me. I heard a preacher say this yesterday. When folk come against you, they're the people that are with you, they'll try to bring those people against you. When they're mad at you, when folk are mad at you, I hear the preacher said that yesterday on YouTube, a little young man was teaching out of Nigeria. He says, there's three types of people you have to be careful with. People that are jealous. I said, wow. He said they'll be your friend, but they're jealous of the position that you have and how God is using you. Hallelujah. But we're not going to preach all that. But let's just say what he says. Let's go into the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah. Hallelujah. We're not preaching all the churches today. We'll preach all the churches another day. We'll preach about the lukewarm churches. We'll preach a whole message on that. I had to pull up one of my folders today and all these sermons I was looking at because I don't know what I'm going to preach on Sunday. So I'm just looking in there. You can't wait till Sunday to get it, but you can get it on Sunday. You know, God can give it to you or he can change what you have on Sunday, but you've got to be prepared. You have to prepare yourself. You can't wait till the man you get into church and say, well, you're going to preach today this morning. Elder, you're going to preach. Deacon, you're going to preach today. Minister, you're going to preach today. You can't wait till that morning. You have to always have something. The Bible says you always got to be ready to give an answer to the hope that's in you. You got to be ready. You got to be ready. Because I know when I was over the church, I didn't believe that the pastor was going to come and preach. Because I went to listen. I went to hear. I went to support. And all of a sudden, I'm the preacher. You never know. You're the preacher teacher. Hallelujah. You got to be ready. Jeremiah chapter 7. We're talking about call to repentance. And the preacher here is speaking powerfully. Oh, Jesus, have mercy on us. Show us, Lord, where you want us to go. We're going to hit these scriptures just the way you want us to hit us. Jeremiah, let's put it up in the computer. Jeremiah chapter 7. And we're going to start at verse 2. Hallelujah. Talking about call to repentance. You know, this is one of the hardest words in the Bible for people to do. You know what I'm saying? One of the hardest words. Because most people don't want to. They don't want to stop doing what they're doing. And that's all repentance is. That you make a decision. You're going to stop doing what you're doing. You're not going to continue living the lifestyle you've been living. Hallelujah. We got to make up in our mind. We got to make up in our mind that we are going to live the way God wants us to live. That's what repentance is. I'm stopped. I'm not going back to the crack house. I'm not going back to the whole house. I'm not messing with them people anymore. You understand? So I have to make up my mind. You got to change. You got to make a decision that you're going to change your life, that you're going to allow God to change you. Because a lot of times, you know, we say, I'm going to change my life. But really it is that you got to say, Lord, change me. You got to do it like David. Because every time I want to do something, I find myself doing the next thing. Not what I want to do, not what I ought to do, but I find myself doing what I ought not to do. You understand? Paul said, every time I want to do right, I end up doing wrong. Hallelujah. So we got to continue to ask God, Lord, come on in, Lord, and help me to do what's pleasing to you. Here in the book, Jeremiah chapter 7, the prophet says, starting at verse 2, stand in the gate. The Lord called Jeremiah to go ahead and preach to the people of Judah and Jerusalem. He's got to preach to God's people. See, because it got to begin in the house of the Lord first. It has to start in the house. We want to preach, we want to evangelize, and we got a bunch of people in the house that is sick. Sick, spiritually sick, dying. Didn't he say that this morning? They got, they proclaim that they are alive, but in reality, he said they are dying. So we have to start here in the church, and we got to start preaching judgment. We got to start preaching repentance. Much time you don't hear folk in church talking about sin. You don't hear too many preachers talking about sin. You don't hear too much of them telling people that they have to respect. He said, for the time has come that judgment must begin in the at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, we are the house, what shall the end of and be of them that obey not the gospel of God? You can say, what shall the end be of them that don't listen, don't adhere to what God is saying? What should the end be? Us first. We should be getting the word that telling us how to live. That's what we should be getting. How to live, not just live, but how to live according to God's word. That's the word that we should be getting. How not to live a sinful lifestyle. Preachers are putting on, getting more tattoos and more, they call it ink. They say they're getting more ink. They don't even say tattoos anymore. They say they're getting, I'm going down and get some ink. Get some ink. They're paying hundreds of dollars for all these different tattoos. And they got people in the church can't even keep food. They're coming to church because they're hoping that God would do something for them. They can't keep food on the table. They can't pay their light bill, can't pay the gas bill. As soon as they take the money out of the church treasury and they go get tattoos, get piercings, because they want to entice the world. You don't have to entice the world. What you need to do is preach to the world. You got to preach the word of God to the church. Don't entice the church. You don't have to draw entice the church to come to you. You know, because they say, oh, my pastor, oh, he got tattoos on his arms and around his neck and his face. Oh, he got piercing. My pastor's just like us. He's just like us. He got a lot of tattoos, a lot of piercing. So he's trying to fit in. And God said, no, we don't have to fit in. We got to be separated. We got to come up from among them, be separated. We got to be different. We got to be a square peg in a round hole. This is how we got to be. Here, Jeremiah, he told Jeremiah. He says, the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord says, stand in the gate of the house of the Lord's house and proclaim this word and say, hear the word of the Lord, all ye of Judah, these gates to worship the Lord. The Lord is speaking to folk that's supposed to be saved. We don't want to hear the word. Matter of fact, we say we know the word. But the Lord is speaking to people that's supposed to be saved, that know Jehovah. This is who we're talking to. Okay, this is who we're talking to. And he says, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways and your doings. And I will cause you to dwell in this place. What is he saying? Let me tell you what he's saying. He said to the people that they had to make good or make right. The essence of their message is their need to change their behaviors and their attitudes. That's what God is saying. You're preaching the word and you got a stinking attitude. The moment that somebody says something that you don't like, you catch on fire, but not godly fire, not Holy Ghost fire. Oh, it's boiling in you. You can hear it in your spirit. You can hear it in your spirit. People hear it. And God is saying to them, they got to mend their ways and your doings. See, your ways, you're saying stuff. You're seeing stuff. You're acting on stuff. Your actions are speaking louder than words. You have a sophisticated speech. You know the Greek, the Hebrew, the Latin. You know all that. But you don't know how to be loving to people. You don't know how to be compassionate to people. You put on a form of that you are that, but you deny the power of God. You're not holy. Hallelujah, Jesus. Help us, Holy Spirit. Hear what he's saying. I got a lot to give you, but you know, I'm not going to give you some more today because the prophet is coming in tomorrow. And Evangelist Campbell will come in on Saturday. God is sending help. Listen what he says. Glory to God. Trust ye not in lying words. See, there's a lot of false prophets, pastors, false apostles, false bishops, false evangelists, false teachers, false deacons, false ushers. They got a lot of false stuff in the church. Because they don't want to repent. They're living their own way and doing their own thing, the way where they want to do it, not the way God says. They're not spending time in fasting and praying to hear a word from God. They can't turn the plate over. That's why they're overweight. All the stuff is going on. Diabetes, all this stuff is going on. Asthmatic symptoms, all this stuff is going on. Because why? They wouldn't turn the plate over. Do you know when you start to fast, pray that you give your body to regenerate and recuperate, and then the body begin to heal itself when you fasting and praying? Even if you fast for 3 hours a day, that 3 hours your body get time to rest from all of these stuff that you're putting in, all these contaminants that you're putting in your body. You fast for 3 hours, 2 hours a day, 6 hours a day, and your body begin to rejuvenate from the inside. He says that, look, trust not in lying words, saying the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord are these. People want to tell you what the temple of the Lord is. The Bible says that you are the temple of the Lord. Your heart, your soul. This is where he's dwelling in. Not in the building. You are the temple of the Lord. They call the building the temple of the Lord, but that's not the temple. You are the temple. That's where you got to live like the temple of the Lord. Like you know that you know that you know that you are the temple of the Lord. But if you say you are the temple of the Lord, but you're living like a discotheque or a nightclub, now something is wrong with that picture. You see? You say you're holy, but you're living like a sinner. Like you're a habitual sinner. Hallelujah. He says, for if we truly amend, if you truly amend your ways and your doings, if you truly execute judgment between a man and his neighbor, if you oppress not the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, and shed not innocent blood in this place, neither walk after other gods to your hurt, then will I cause you to dwell in this place, in the land that I give to your fathers forever and ever. See, here God is saying to the people, to Judah and to Jerusalem, Israel, you have something to do in order to inherit what I promised to your foreparents. Do you know why there's so much kadumas going on in Africa? Because instead of people worshiping God, majority of them, not the minority, the majority of them, you know why they're going through lack of this and lack of that? Because they take on the initiative to worshiping all of these false entities. All of these gods, they got witch doctors and all this stuff that they go to. Some of them going to church and preaching the gospel and still go down to the witch doctor because they want to get a word from the witch doctor. They want a portion from the witch doctor. They want some powder from the witch doctor. They want something to go and burn inside the church to draw people so they can become millionaires. Do you hear what I'm saying? They're not trusting God to do what he said he would do. He said, I will supply all your needs
according to the riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You're not trusting him for that. Listen to what he says. Behold, you trust in lying words that cannot profit. This is God speaking. Hallelujah, to the prophet. And he said the same word in Deuteronomy chapter 4 and 40, Deuteronomy chapter 3 and 18, Deuteronomy chapter 6, 14 and 15. It's all over there. Hallelujah. And the prophet Jeremiah is saying the same thing. God is speaking the same word through the prophet Jeremiah. That's why we got to repent. The word has not changed. It's the same yesterday, today, and it will be the same tomorrow. It's not going to change. People are trying to change the Bible to fit their doings. But you can change the words, but you can't change the spirit of the word. The letter killeth, but the spirit gives life. They can write all kinds of stuff in the book and call it the Bible, but the sound doctrine is still in the atmosphere. But you speaking is not true. The truth going to remain forever, forever and ever and ever. Listen what he said, glory to God. Will you steal? Will you steal, murder, and commit adultery, and swear falsely, and burn incense unto Baal, and walk after other gods whom you know not? Excuse me. And come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name, and say, we are delivered to do all these abominations. God asks a powerful question here. Folk, now I hear somebody say, I don't know if you've seen it on Facebook. Now the Ouija board is a devil board, satanic board. Now they got it. Now Amazon has a Christian religious board. This is what they got on the board. It's a Christian religious board. It's a talking board. You can ask it anything and it'll talk to you. Not physically talk. The little thing on it had a glass on it because I used to have one when I was probably 19 or 20 years old back in the country. Because I saw a lot of people was using it, and they had I had a crystal ball too, magician wand, all that stuff. The powders and all that stuff, I had all that stuff. So I know the dark side. I know what the dark side is like. And I thought that I was, because the people that I know that I grew up with, that was their family was doing it, and they were deep into it. They had big house and car and money and all type of stuff, nice fine jewelry. And I thought if I connect with that stuff, I would do this. I would get all the stuff sent from Chicago. Illinois was coming to my country. I was paying a lot of money to ship that stuff to me, powders and different stuff from a warlock over there. Let me tell you, he says, will you steal, take stuff that don't belong to you, that's what stealing is, murdering people, and commit adultery, and swear falsely, and burn incense to Baal, to different entity, to the satanic gods. And walk after other gods whom you know not. Zephaniah chapter 1 and 5. And come and stand before me in this house. Come into the church building, which is called by his name, and say, we are delivered to do all of these abominations. Now we are free. They say we are free. We are free to do what we want to do. And you see some preachers are going down to the tarot card readers, and they want the tarot card readers to read their future, tell them what's going to happen the next year, next couple of months. They go to the palm readers. They want to know what is the lines in their hand saying. There's a message in each of your hands. But you don't need to concern with that because God already tells you. Beloved, I wish above all things that you would prosper and be in good health, even as you so prosper. He said, I'm going to give you riches, and I'm not going to add no sorrow to it. The riches that come from God don't have sorrow to it. You see, reason why? Because God wants you to be balanced in him. He said, because a false balance is an abomination to him. Proverbs 11 and 1. You understand what I'm saying? We have to connect with God's word and line up God's word with what we expect from God. We can't go around the corner and run shortcuts and doing stuff and say, well, I'm just still going to come in the house and worship God. Somebody said, why you want to put salt in the church? Well, because it's come from God. Salt purifies. If you go to synagogues, most of the synagogues, Jewish synagogues, in the corners, the four corners of the building, they have salt. You know why they put that? Because they keep the place pure, purify the place. Satan don't cross that line. What did Elisha do? When the waters, the rivers was dirty, filthy, and was poisoned, people were getting sick. The women couldn't get pregnant because the water was causing the wombs to become barren. When they drink the water, they got all type of sickness. And Elijah told the servant, go bring some salt. And they put the salt in the water. This is not witchcraft. Today, if you do that, somebody says, where's the pastor working witchcraft in the church? You got some contaminants in the church that need to be purified. They need the salt of God all over the church to clean the church up. Do you hear me saying? So he says here, Jeremiah chapter 7, glory to God. Verse 11. Let me see how far I'm going. 11. Is this house, which is called by my name, become a den of robbers in your eyes? He asked a question. Is this house that is called by my name become a den of robbers? Why you hear sometimes that some of the stuff that's going on in the building, in the church building, by some of these bishops and apostles and prophets and prophets and evangelists, you know, you'd be amazed. You say, well, one preacher went over to California. No, not California, excuse me. He went over to where the place is, in Arizona. He went over there to where they have all the gambling and stuff. And his preacher goes over there, he's from Texas. And he went over there, he and his wife, and they took $100,000+ from the church. And they go over there and gamble all the church money. That church can't pay the bills, can't pay the water bill, the light bill, gas bill, nothing. The pastor has become a thief, a robber. This is what God is talking about. There's nothing to give to the poor. The pastor's already gone over to, I can't remember the name of the place they now. Oh, my God. In Arizona. I can't remember. But they got all the gambling and stuff goes over there, just like Louisiana. New Orleans, not New Orleans. That's New Orleans, Louisiana. He went over to Las Vegas. He go down to Las Vegas and gamble all the church money. And the Lord says, behold, even I have seen it, saith the Lord. This is why the Lord is calling for repentance. I told the people, you know, if the pastor would just come to the altar and just bow down at the altar and begin to pray and seek God's face, people would come and there would be healing would take place. They would begin to see the manifestation of the power of God. Jesus said, Jeremiah says, verse 12 says, but go ye now place, which was in Shiloh, where I set my name at the first, and see what I did to it for the wickedness of my people Israel. If you look at that, see what God did. See, God tells us what he will do and what he has done, because he haven't changed. Listen, go over to 1 Samuel chapter 4. We're talking about call to repentance. Go to 1 Samuel. I got this lawn people out there mourning right now. 1 Samuel chapter 4. 1 Samuel is out there trimming the hedges or something. 1 Samuel chapter 4. Glory to God. This is what they do at Shiloh. This is what God talking about. 1 Samuel chapter 4. We got to repent. And look, start at verse 1. And the word of Samuel came to all Israel the word of Samuel, the prophet. Now Israel went out against the Philistines to battle and pitched beside Ebenezer. And the Philistines pitched at Aphek. And the Philistines put themselves in array. They would get ready against Israel. And when they joined battle, Israel was smitten before the Philistines, and they slew of the army in the field about 4,000 men. This is what God did. Hallelujah. God allowed the Philistines, because of the wickedness of Israel, the disobedience of Israel, God removed his protective hand. Did he just tell you in Jeremiah to tell the people, tell Jeremiah, tell them to go and look at Shiloh and see what I did in Shiloh to the people? This is what he said. Listen to this. No, he says, 4,000. And when the people were come in the camp, the elders of Israel said, wherefore hath the Lord smitten us today before the Philistines? Let us fetch the ark of the covenant of the Lord out of Shiloh unto us, that when it cometh among us, it may save us out of the hand of our enemies. Now they had lost the ark, see? Now they want to go and get the ark. The ark represents the power of God, the presence of God. You see, but you can't have the presence when you're acting like the devil. When you allow the devil to lead and guide you. You hear what I'm saying? We want to have, lift up what we call holy hands in the morning, Sunday morning, but Saturday night, we are shaking and doing the church. We're twerking in the club. We are getting drunk. We're cussing. We're acting up a fool. We're acting like a servant of the devil. But Sunday morning, we want to act like servant of the Lord. The Lord move himself, because he's not into double standard. Either you're going to worship Baal or you're going to worship the Lord Jesus. You got to make up in your mind. Who are you going to worship? Who are you worshiping? So he says here, look, they want to bring the ark so that God would hand would protect them. He says, so the people sent to Shiloh, and that they might bring from hence the ark of the covenant of the Lord of hosts, which dwelleth between the cherubims. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were there with the ark of the covenant of God. Now, you know Phinehas, Hophni and Phinehas, you know that these two boys, they didn't follow the law. They didn't obey the law. You know, they were going into the house of the Lord and doing some all type of stuff. Doing all type of wicked stuff in the house of the Lord. And their father, the priest, Eli, they chastise his kids. Now, they don't have the right to walk in the presence of the Lord. We don't have the right when we're living in sin. When we don't repent, we don't have the right to go up to the altar and say, Lord, give me this and bless me with that. We don't have the right. He even said to look, God don't even want your stuff. He doesn't even want your stuff. Don't even receive your stuff when you're walking in iniquity. He said, you got stuff against your brother. You got sin in your life. You got stuff against your brother. Before you even offer up your offering, leave it at the altar and go make it right with your brother. And then come offer. He said, God, I'm not going to receive it. So we don't have the right. So they don't have the right to walk with in God's presence. So God moved himself. They got the ark, but they're still losing. They're still losing now. They got that covenant. They got God's presence with the ark supposed to represent his presence and his power. And when the ark of the covenant of the Lord came into the camp, all Israel shouted with a great shout so that the earth rang. The earth shook. And when the Philistines heard the noise of the shout, they said, what meaneth this, the noise of this great shout in the camp of the Hebrews? And they understood that the ark of the Lord was come into the camp. And the Philistines were afraid, for they said, God God has come into the camp, and they said, woe unto us, for there hath not been such a thing theretofore. There had not been a thing like this, because they know what God has done to the Egyptians before. They knew when God's presence with the Israelites, what he does, how he defends them. So they begin to be afraid, not knowing that the Israelites were becoming disobedient to God's leading. Hallelujah. So they listen to this. Glory to God. He says, so woe unto to us, who shall deliver us out of the hand of these mighty gods. These are the gods that smote the Egyptians with all the plagues in the wilderness. And then one of the Philistines says, he's a leader, he says, be strong and quit yourself like men, O ye Philistines, that you be not servants unto the Hebrews, as they have been to us. Quit yourself like men and fight. He said, now listen, stop being afraid and begin to act like men that have power inside their body. This is what he's saying. He says, and all the Philistines fought Israel. All the Philistines fought, and Israel was smitten, and they fled every man into his tent. And there was a very great slaughter, for there fell of Israel 30,000 foot men. See, God's hand is not on them. He's not protecting them. He's not shielding them. When we find ourselves going in another direction, and we're not honoring God, we're not obeying God, or we worshiping another entity, God moved his hand. He still loves us, but he's not going to protect you when you're doing evil things. Do you understand what I'm saying? So you have to get yourself into, get back right with God. How you get back right with God? You got to repent. You got to stop doing the things that are offensive to God. God hurts when we do stuff like that. He poured out his precious blood on the earth to save us, to buy our pardon, and then we go back into the very thing that he paid the price for us to be free from, and we go right back into it, doing the same exact thing. God says no. So Israel lost another 30,000 people. Now you understand it. Now before they lost 4,000 people. But this is a greater slaughter according to the word of God. Hallelujah. Now not only is they going to lose that, they lost 30,000 more people. This is 34,000 people in all so far. But the Philistine now going to conquer. And the ark of God was taken. And the two sons of Eli the priest, Hophni and Phinehas, were slain. You see, there shall never be walked next to that ark. As wicked as these two boys were. See, we as preachers, we are servants of the Most High God. And we got sons and we got daughters and grandchildren that are acting up. We got to tell them. We ought to spend the time telling them. Then it's not on us anymore. But we ought to tell them how to live for God. We ought to tell them, correct them with sound doctrine. Don't predicate with them. If they're getting high, if they're cussing, if they're getting drunk, and all that kind of stuff, they're fornicating, we ought to tell them that it's wrong. Hallelujah. It's wrong. Because if they don't repent and turn from it, they're going to end up in hell. Now, Eli's sons were killed. They were killed in the battle. And they ran a man of Benjamin out of the army and came to Shiloh the same day with his clothes torn, rent, and with earth. He put dirt upon his head. And when he came, lo, Eli sat upon a seat by the wayside watching, for his heart trembled for the ark of God. And when the man came into the city and told it, all the city cried out. And when Eli heard the noise of the crying, he said, what meaneth the noise of this tumult? And the man came in hastily and told Eli. Eli was concerned, confusion. What is all this ruckus going on in the city? I'm hearing a whole lot of stuff going on because Eli was, eyes were going dim. He could only see illumination, but he couldn't see the full stuff. His eyes were going dim. Hallelujah. So his head was one in one direction. You know, he couldn't look and see what was happening. So he asked him what's going on. He could hear what's happening, but he couldn't see what was going on. So now Eli was 98 years old, and his eyes were dim that he could not see. And the man said unto Eli, I am he that came out of the army or out of the battle, and I fled today out of the army. And he said, what is there done to my son? The funny thing, and I was studying this again, I read this so many times, I got some spots in here, touch up. And I was studying this last night, and what really grabbed my eyes, my spiritual eyes and my spiritual hearing, is that Eli didn't ask about the ark first. He's the man of God. He know that the ark represents the presence and power of God. He should have asked about where is the ark of God. It should be like that. You know, we see something going on in the city, and so we say, well, is the house of the Lord okay? How about the church that's at the corner? Is the church still okay? But you know, we say, is my car all right? Is my motorcycle right? Did anybody damage my motorcycle? Did they damage my car? That's the first thing he asked about. He asked about his sons. That was more important to him than the ark of God. Hallelujah. And the messenger answered and said, Israel is fled before the Philistines. Excuse me. Israel has fled before the Philistines, and there have been a great slaughter among the people. Many people died, Eli. So many people died. Hallelujah. And thy two sons also, Hophni and Phinehas, are dead. And the ark of God is taken. Now when he heard this, when he heard this that the ark was taken, this was it. His sons are dead. And not only dead, but they have taken the presence of God. Hallelujah. And it came to pass when he made mention of the ark of God that he fell from off the seat backward by the side of the gate, and his neck brake. And he died, for he was an old man and heavy. He was fat. And he had judged Israel 40 years. He judged Israel 40 years, but brought no corrections to his own sons. You know, it's strange we as preachers that we'll tell the congregation that God has given us to lead. We'll tell them everything that God is saying to us, but we wouldn't tell our own children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren. We wouldn't tell them. Eli fell back and broke his neck. The Bible says he was fat. And the daughter, let me see how far I'm going here. And his daughter-in-law, Phinehas' wife, was with child, near to be delivered. And when she heard the tidings or the message that the ark of God was taken and that her father-in-law and her husband were dead, she bowed herself and travailed, went into childbirth. Hallelujah, child pains. For her pains came upon her, and about the time of her about the time of her death, the women that stood by her said unto her, fear not, for thou hast borne his son. See, woman, see when the disability is in the camp, many people suffer. That's why we got to preach repentance. We got to get this thing back up in the atmosphere. We got to preach the kingdom. We got to get it back in the atmosphere. These people are preaching, all this prosperity stuff is going on. And they don't have no fear. They put it on Facebook, post it on Facebook. Or the next 30 days you're going to have this. Next 40 days you're going to have that. I'm talking not about living holy, walking it right before God. You see? But she answered not. Neither did she regard it. And she named the child Ichabod, saying, the glory is departed from Israel, because the ark of God was taken, and because her father-in-law and her husband, and she said, the glory is departed from Israel, for the ark of God is taken. Now I want you to let you know this. God is calling the church back to repentance. Why? Because we have become too comfortable. We have 4-car garages, swimming pool. We have more vehicles than we can drive. These are what the preachers have. Some of these preachers have 6 and 7 cars. They got them all on the front, on the lawn. The garage is full. And now they got some on in the driveway, and they got some on the lawn. I saw one preacher had about 20-some cars, you know. He's over there in Texas. People were donating cars to him, giving cars. I'm not talking Mitsubishi. I'm not talking about Volkswagen. They're giving him Lamborghinis and Ferraris and all this stuff. He got them all on his lawn. And this is all they're concerned about. People are under their care and dying and going to hell. People under their care. Go to Jeremiah. Where we at? Let's go back over here. And back over to Jeremiah chapter 2. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 2. Hallelujah. And see what the Lord says. Hallelujah. We got to get this. We got to get this word up. Hallelujah, Jesus. Jeremiah chapter 2. We're talking about call to repentance. I tell you the truth. We got some folk coming on the line every day, and they're not. They're hiding their phone number, blocking up their phone number. But it's all right. You've got to know who you are. I don't have to see your phone number. If you hear the word, that's best for me. Jeremiah chapter 2. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Jeremiah chapter 2, where we want to start. Let's jump all down to verse 18. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And now what hast thou to do in the way of Egypt? To drink the waters of Sihon? Or what hast thou to do in the way of Assyria, to drink the waters of the river? Thine own wickedness shall correct thee, and thy backsliding shall reprove thee. Know, therefore, and see that it is an evil thing and bitter that thou hast forsaken the Lord thy God, and that my fear is not in thee. Hallelujah. Save the Lord God of his hosts. For of all time I have broken the yoke and burst thy bands, and thou saidest, I will not transgress. When upon every high hill and under every green tree thou wonderest playing the harlot. Now, God called out the people, and he called them out for whoredom. What does he correlate whoredom with? Worshiping other gods. And this is what the people were transgressing. They were worshiping other gods on the high places and the forests. They were setting up idols and worshiping. Yet I had planted thee a noble vine, holy and a right seed. How then art thou turned into the degenerated plant of a strange vine unto me? Call you out, call us out. And God has blessed us with everything that we need to praise him. But we have turned our backs on him. Preachers today are indulging in things in the house of God that does not give God glory. You understand what I'm saying? It does not give him glory. One pastor was saying last night, preaching on YouTube. I just heard about 2 minutes ago. I don't even know 2 minutes. And he was saying that he is inviting LGBTQ plus in his church. And he said it's okay if you're in love, because love is of God. But not that kind of love. He was saying it was of God. And he said that the man married to another man can come and fellowship with them. So what he's saying is that God, the God that we serve, is a liar. That's what he's saying. He's a liar. Because God says he made male and female come on when they get married. He didn't say man and man and woman. But anyway, we have turned away from him. We are worshiping idols and we're doing things that does not give God glory. All the things that we're doing does not give him glory. It is offensive. It's like filth, a stench in his nostrils. Hallelujah. We're not gonna finish this today because we gotta come back next. The Lord says again next week, Monday, Sam, I'll do a part two of this. I got stuff. I wanna go into Romans and Hebrews and different places, Zephaniah and Isaiah and Thessalonians and more Samuel. So we're gonna go some places, but I'm not gonna finish it today. So here in this book, God says that he has made them this people that would worship and praise him. But how they turn away. They rejected him. He said, has the nation changed? Listen what God says. They turn away. Thine own wickedness shall correct thee, and thy backsliding shall reprove thee. Know therefore and see that it is an evil thing and bitter that thou hast forsaken the Lord thy God, and that my fear is not in thee, saith the Lord God of hosts. God says this. Hallelujah. Verse 22. For though thou wash thee with nitre, and take thee much soap, yet thine iniquity is marked before me, saith the Lord God. How canst thou say, I am not polluted? I have not gone after Balaam. See thy way in the valley. Know what thou hast done. Thou art a swift dromedary, traversing thy ways. God says that they're unclean. We have to go back to the place of repentance. Get back to that place of acknowledging where we have deviated from God. And ask God to forgive us. We are not there yet. Matter of fact, we fall away from where we were. Look at the places of worship not all the places of worship. I want you to get this because somebody's following me and they're putting stuff on Facebook from Blog Talk Radio. I want to say not all the churches are drifting away, but a lot of them are getting contaminated or becoming polluted by the world system. And God is saying, look, as we said this morning in Revelation chapter 3, he knows all our works. He sees everything that we do, and he hears every word that we speak, good or bad. So before he come unto us swiftly, like he said he's coming quickly, let us go back to the place of repentance. Let us call our congregation. Let us call them to repentance. We can't see what he sees. We only see what he allows us to see, and we only hear what he allows us to hear. That we don't miss anything. Let us call the congregation to, like, today. This morning, we all going to go back on our knees, and we're going to crawl to God in repentance. You know your own problems. You know your own failures, shortcomings. Ask God to forgive you. Let's call the congregation before us, before God, and see what God does in our midst. Listen to what he says. God is awesome. He said, "A wild ass used to the wilderness that snuffeth up the wind at her pleasure. In her occasion, who can turn her away? All they that seek her will not weary themselves in her month. They shall find her." The time of mating, okay, in her month. When the ass is ready to be impregnated, they will find her. Why? Because there's certain things that an ass or a donkey does or an animal does that you can tell. They have a different smell. Hallelujah. You will tell. With all thy feet or foot from being on shod, and thy trod from thirst. But thou sayest, there is no hope. No. For I have loved strangers, and after them will I go. As the thief is ashamed when he is found, so is the house of Israel ashamed. There, their kings, their princes, and their priests, and their prophets, saying to thou art my father, and to a stone thou hast brought me forth, for they have turned their backs unto me, and not their face. But in the time of their trouble, they will say, arise and save us. Isn't that like us? That we don't have time to pray. We don't have time to fast. We are connected with the Mardi Gras, the carnival, the crop over festival. Oh, we are connected with all that got the band in the park. Thousands upon thousands of people show up for the big festival in the park here in Boston, in your city too. But when the revival is coming, what they call the revival, the same people that go to the church building might show up. But them thousands upon thousands that go into these open-air concerts, they're not interested in God. And even some of the ones that come to the regular church building, they go to the open-air concert. They say, well, Bonnie Raitt is going to be in town. This body and that body, they call the names of this entertainer. I used to know the entertainers before, but I don't know them now. Bonnie Raitt is a long time when she do. I know her from when I was younger in Boston. And when they first come to town, Some of the folk not going to church now. They say, oh, I grew up with Bonnie Rick. I got to go hear her. I got to go hear her. They're going to spend $30 or $40 or $50 to go see her in concert. And if it's free to get there early, say, I'm not going to church today. They turn their back on God. But when they got trouble, when trouble come upon them, when sickness and when want of funds to pay their bills, they'll cry out and they'll even call some of the church folk to pray for them, for their sickness or for their whatever need they have, turn their back on God when they should be worshiping him. He says, but where are thy gods that thou hast made thee? Let them arise if they can save thee in the time of thy troubles. For according to the number of thy cities are thy gods, O Judah. In other words, they have many gods. Many gods. I was watching a little glimpse of this thing on YouTube. Somebody put something on there. And these people, they have a giant statue. Oh, Apostle, will miss you. They have a giant statue on, it's like a mantle. Giant statue. It must be like 3, 4, 5 feet. In their living room of Mary. And they got the cross and all this stuff, the beads and stuff. You know them kind of cross they got, the Catholic has. All around the head and around the neck and everything. And they got their kids in the living room worshiping this statue. They make all of these idols and stuff. Given what God deserves to statues, idols. God says that they have many, many gods according to their cities. Wherefore will you plead with me? You all have transgressed against me, saith the Lord. In vain have I smitten your children. They receive no correction. Your own sword have devoured your prophets like a destroying lion. O generation, see the word of the Lord. Have I been a wickedness unto Israel, a land of darkness? Wherefore say my people, we are lords. We will come no more unto thee. People begin to claim themselves as lords or gods. Hallelujah. They believe that they can do their own thing, provide their own thing, everything that they need. They don't need God anymore. We see it even in our nation. Can a maid forget her ornaments or a bride her attire? Yet my people have forgotten me days without number. Excuse me. You cannot forget the God that made you, that created you, that fashioned you in his own likeness. How can you? That's why he used this analogy here. Can a maid forget her ornaments or a bride her attire? Yet my people have forgotten me. This without number. He is your covering. How can you forget your covering? How can you forget your covering? How can we forget our covering? Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2. Glory to God. I don't know. Hallelujah, we got to do something. Lord, give us something. Give us a good word, a strong word for Sunday, Lord. It's almost here, Lord. Put it open to you right now. Feed me, Lord. Romans chapter 2, verse 5. But after my hardness and impenitent heart, treacherous up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deed. No, listen. God is saying to us that every man going to be rewarded or judged according to his deeds. To them who be by patience and continuous and well done seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath. These are the ones that are headstrong. He said, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first, and also of the Gentile. No one is going to escape. If you don't want to live holy, listen what's coming after you. If you live by the sword, you're going to die by the sword. If you're living in an evil way, evil is going to follow you. Listen to me, because it's part of you. Okay? You can't get away from it unless you repent. But glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first, and also to the Gentile. See, God show you both sides. If you decide to live a sinful way, guess what's coming back to you? The same sin. If you decide to walk righteous, what's coming back to you? Righteousness. The glory and honor and peace of God will come upon you. For there is no respect of person with God. Listen, for as many as have sinned without law, shall also perish without law. And as many have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. Hallelujah, glory to God. Some people think that they're going to get away because I ain't never heard a preacher preach before. But your own heart convicts you that you're doing wrong. Your own heart, your own contentiousness tells you that you are living sinful. I never went to hear no evangelist. I never hear no prophet or prophetess or pastor, apostle, whatever. But you know in your heart when you are living a lifestyle that does not please the God of the universe, the God of heaven and earth. He says, for when the Gentiles which have not the law do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their heart, their conscience also bearing witness that their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. Now, you see, I told you this. This is what I just said. See, your own conscience lets you know. You know how to go down by the church and say, well, no preacher ever told me about Jesus. No preacher ever told me about my sin. But you know, your conscience tells you. Even those that are not saved and they commit adultery or fornication, they know. They know what they're doing is wrong. Hallelujah. Just as you that know the truth and you do wrong, you know that you're wrong. He said, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel, behold, thou art called a Jew and restest in the law and making thy boast of God, and knoweth it his will, and approveth the things that are more excellent being instructed out of the law, and art confident that thou thyself art a guide of the blind, a light of them which are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes which have the form of knowledge and of the truth in the law. Thou therefore which teacheth another, teachest thou not thyself. Listen, oh my God, my God. Ooh, this just took me back to a movie called The Rapture. I thought that's one movie that took a teaching on my soul. Dang, you still don't live it. Because you're teaching people and you're shouting at them, you're talking to them, and you're crying to them, but you're not living the truth. Paul makes this thing so plain. He makes it so plain. I don't even have to go to the locals. He makes this thing so plain. Thou therefore which teacheth another, teacheth not thyself. Thou that preacheth a man should not steal, didst thou steal? Thou that saith a man should not commit adultery, dost thou commit adultery? Thou that abhorrest evil, dost thou commit sacrilege? Oh my God. Do you see this? Listen. Thou that makest thy boast of the law, through breaking the law dishonors the law. For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, as it is written. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We sometimes, as Paul is saying here, if you're not living this thing, you cause people to outside the boundaries of truth. Because we are proclaiming truth but not living the truth. And we cause other people to sin. One person was saying that, I don't have to, well, my pastor smoked reefer too. My pastor's cool. So what the pastor's doing? The pastor's causing other congregants to smoke and get high. And then when they get high, they fornicate, they commit adultery, they lie, they cheat, they steal, just like Paul is saying here, because now they're not in their own senses. They're not in their right mind. See? So we have to be careful in the things that we're doing. Isaiah chapter 1. Let's go. Isaiah chapter 1. Oh, Lord Jesus, I'm just right here now. Isaiah chapter 1. I'm just giving you a lot today because I know a lot of people don't respond, so the Holy Spirit is not stopping me, so I'm going to go ahead till he stops me. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 2. Hear, O heaven, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. Hear what God is saying. God has given us everything that we need pertaining to holiness, righteousness, the life. We heard it. We were taught. And then we walk away from him. We do what we want to do. Hallelujah. What pleases us is what we do. He said, no, I want to do this. Preacher says, he has done everything to encourage his son. He said, but his son is doing his own thing. He's doing his own thing. You can only do so much. Go to Zephaniah chapter 1. Zephaniah chapter 1. Glory to God. And let's see what we pull up in here. Zephaniah chapter 1. Zephaniah chapter 1 and verse 10 says, and there shall be on that day a declaration of God, a loud outcry from the fish gate, and a wailing from the second district, a loud crashing from the hills. An entrance, the fish gate is an entrance to Jerusalem located on the northern section of city walls. It was the site of a fish market. Since this gate was on the north side of Jerusalem, the fish sold here probably came from the Sea of Galilee. The second gate district, a newer section of the city, probably located near the Terrapin Valley, on the north side of the city. It was probably built after the construction of the temple to provide housing for those who worked and the surrounding areas from the hills. It refers to the western Mount Zion, central Mount Moriah, and eastern Mount of Olives, hills of Jerusalem. Now, Zephaniah began to declare this thing, that there's going to be an outcry. Why there's an outcry? There's always going to be an outcry when people reject God. When people turn away from serving the Savior, there's going to be an outcry because evil shows up. Evil is waiting patiently. Evil is waiting patiently for the people to reject their God, to turn away from. He said the inhabitants of the mortar shall wail. And for all the traders have perished. And all who trade with silver have been cut off. And it shall be that at that time I will search Jerusalem with lamps, and I will punish the men whose senses are dull from drinking, and who say in their heart, God will not do good, nor will he do evil. Then their wealth shall be as plunder, and their homes as desolation. And they shall build their houses and not inhabit them. And they shall plant vineyards and not drink their wine. The great day of God draws near. It is near and coming very swiftly. The sound of the day of God is bitterness. There a warrior cries out. That day will be a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of disasters and ruination, a day of darkness and deep gloom, a day of clouds and thick clouds, a day of trumpet and trumpet blast against the fortified city and against the high corner towers. And I will bring distress to all humankind, and they shall walk about like the blind, for they sin against God. Their blood shall be poured out like dust, and the entrails, that's the intestines, like down. Moreover, their silver and their gold will not be able to save them on the day of the wrath of God. And in the fire of his zeal, the whole land shall be consumed, for a terrifying end he shall make for all the inhabitants of the land. I'm telling you something, there's no escape. There's not going to be any escape on that day without repentance. Listen to me. Without repentance, man will suffer great, great pain, great sorrows, continuous sorrows. Go to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians and chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. First chapter. Verse 1. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction coming upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should take you as a thief. You are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep in the night, and they that drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. This is the word of God, people. This is the word of God. God wants us, when we repent and we come to Jesus and we turn to him, we live in the light. We are in the light. 1 Samuel chapter 3. Go to 1 Samuel chapter 3. King James Version all the way. 1 Samuel chapter 3. And we're going to finish this short teaching today. And next week when we come back, the Lord said we'll go somewhere else. Samuel chapter 3. Let's start at verse 10. And the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, speak, for thy servant heareth. And the Lord said unto Samuel, behold, I will do a thing in Israel, at which both the ears of everyone that heareth it shall tingle. In that day, I will perform against Eli all things I have spoken concerning his house. I will begin, and I will also make an end. Verse 13. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not. Remember I told you back there? In he did not correct his son. And therefore, I have sworn unto the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice nor offerings forever. And Samuel lay until morning and opened the doors of the house of the Lord. And Samuel feared to show Eli the vision. Samuel, the Lord has spoken to him, what the Lord has showed him. Go to Acts chapter 2, last scripture, Acts chapter 2. When we're talking about call to repentance, we can't see sacrifices and offerings not going to take care of the problem. Jesus had to die on the cross to give us access to the Father, access to the tree of life, access to the function of life. He had to die. We can't burn incense. We can't write big tithes and write big offerings and think that it's going to set us free from the sin that we are committing against God. Peter says, then Peter said unto them, Acts chapter 2, verse 38 and 39, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall, there's no if or buts about it, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. See, when he called you, he called you, come on in repentance. Eli burning incense and giving up ram and goat and everything to, before the Lord. Burnt offerings and burning incense, but not causing his sons to repent before the Most High God. The sons lost their life, and then from what he heard, shocked him to death. He fell backward and broke his neck. He was 98 years old. Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for this word that you have given us today. We have taken our time and put it all up there on the site today. I pray this computer will come back alive. This computer died last night. And the oldest computer I got is still working fine. I mean, the one that I taught that it was the first Apple that came out, and it's Apple iPad, and it's working fine, perfect. Got a cracked screen. I had a screen replace the screen some years ago, but it's still working fine. And this one is much newer than that. And this last night, it decided that it's not going to charge up at all. It's not taking the charge. The battery said it's dead. But the Apple, they see they had these things making in India, no, China, and they make them in a way that you can't change the battery. The computer's still in good, no cracks, no nothing on it, but the battery will not take a charge. Will not take a charge. It shows it plugged in, but it wouldn't take a charge. And it's not the cord, it's not the transformer. It just decided it's not going to take a charge. So we thank the Lord. We praise the Lord, O Father. We thank you for this word that you have given us today. And thank you for those that came on and that were able to hear this word. The prophetess is going to be here tomorrow. She's going to come and preach for us tomorrow. Share with the Lord. Showed her what's going on in the world to us tomorrow. And then Saturday, praise the Lord, Evangelist Campbell, she will come in and preach a word too. Talk to her for a while. I believe she is talking to somebody from Guyana, from Nigeria, and she's expecting or wanting to go travel to Nigeria, and we're praying for favor that God will give her favor and that his protection will be on her when she travel. Father God, we just thank you and praise you, O God, for this word. We ask you to continue to bless the airways. The word has gone forth to the north, the south, the east, and the west, Lord. And we declare and decree that the word would accomplish exactly what you sent it to do, O God. You sent it out to prosper, and you sent it out to heal. You sent it out to deliver and to restore and to draw men and women to you. Your word will draw. We can't draw anybody, but the word of the soul, it convicts the heart of man to want to do right, to want to repent. We pray that today, even as we send forth this word, by the power and the presence of God, that it will do exactly what we send out to do, and that, Lord, as it going forth, Lord, that people that hear this word, their life will never, ever be the same. Oh, God, we declare it right now, that as they hear this word coming forth, that they will not hear me speaking, but they will hear the very voice of God speaking through me, the Spirit of God speaking through me, and that they will submit and commit to the way of God. They will choose this day that they want to serve God and that they want to serve him with all of their heart, mind, body, and soul. This is my prayer today, Lord. This is my cry today, that men would hear the word, that men would receive the word today, and that men would live the word in the mighty name of Jesus. We are praying that people hear this word and that the word would, yes, do what only the word of God can do. Heal today, restore. There's somebody out there in computer land that don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior. And we never want to go off without doing the prayer of salvation, unless the Lord shows different. But I know he always desired that we would do the prayer of salvation.
and invite somebody to the kingdom of heaven. We know that the kingdom is not meat and drink, but it is joy and peace, love in the Holy Ghost. You know, we know that that's what it is. So we want everybody to enjoy, to experience the very joy. In Romans chapter 14 is where he talks about the Holy Ghost, 14 and 17. He said, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. So we want people to really get this thing, understand that God wants each and every one of us to experience this kingdom in us, to experience the kingdom in us, that we will experience the righteousness of God, peace of God, and the joy of God. And the Holy Ghost is filling us and help us to prosper in the things of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Don't get so focused on the worldly stuff, because once you get focused on the worldly stuff, it's going to take you from where you want to be. You want to be in that place where you can hear God, where God can use you, you know. Because he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things, or all these things, however you want to say it, all other things will be added unto you. You understand? So this is where, this should be our mindset. I want more of God. I don't know enough. I want more. This is my cry every day. I say, God, give me wisdom and understanding. No, enlighten my heart, enlighten my mind. Cause me to flow in your word, that everything lines up, that would make sense to the hearer. I know, God, that I'm no preacher. I know I'm not no teacher, Lord, but I know that you are. So I'm calling on you to teach me, to show me, to enlighten me how to deliver the message that you are giving to me. That's my cry every day. You know, some people push their chest up and act like they got it all together. But no, I don't have it all together. So I have to call out to him, humbleness of heart, that he will fill me. He would give me what I need, that he'll show me how to deliver. You know, that when I'm teaching and preaching in the building, people will walk off the street and come in, because they can hear the microphone. We preach with the door open. We preach with the door open, that people walking, they can hear the gospel going out from the church building, and they'll come on in, the door's open, you know. We're not wearing the bulletproof vest. We're not, and we got the Holy Ghost on. And people will hear the word, they'll walk right up in there and say, can you pray for me? What can I do? What must I do to be saved? The door's open. The doors are open for them to come in. And we're asking God to continue to fill us, continue to enlighten us, continue to, oh God, sharpen us. That's what we're asking God to do. You know, the things that we're lacking, we're asking God for, because we don't have it all yet. Nobody have it all. But God, he has it all. And when you ask him, when you seek him for it, he is so loving and so kind, he'll give it to you. So I'm doing, you know, it was what was Solomon said, God, he said, God, give him wisdom and understanding, that he might judge the people rightfully. He asked God for it, and God gave it to him. Don't you know that if we ask God for it, God will give it to us? Because you don't ask God for it because you want to push your chest up and act like you all that. No, ask God for it because you want to be able to release it into the hearts of his people. And Father, we pray for those today that are out there in computer land that are not saved, not sanctified, don't know Jesus as the Lord and Savior. We pray for them today, Lord. We pray, oh God, that as they hear this word, if we get to put it up, we can't put it on. I don't know if I can get it on Messenger, because the computer I use for that does. These other two computers don't do that. Don't let me go on Messenger. You know, don't let me do it. So I have to put it on, try to get it to the oldest computer on. We have tried today, see if we can do it with the oldest computer. I'm still hoping that, praying that this computer will, maybe I'll pull out the plug and let it rest and see if it gets the battery cooled down, begin to charge again. And we pray, Father God, for that person that don't know Jesus, that they might take the opportunity to reach out to God in spirit and in truth. He says that he is a spirit, And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. So we're going to ask you today, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the Bible says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We're going to ask you today that if you don't know Jesus today and you would love to know him for yourself and have a relationship, develop a relationship with him, because that's what it's all about, having a relationship with the Savior. Hallelujah. That you can call upon him today in repentance. The Bible says all have sinned, A-double-L, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. You, me, all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory. So the only way we can get back in right standing with the Father is through the blood of Jesus Christ, the shed blood of Jesus Christ. You understand? We got to come in through that blood, through the blood. The Bible says without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. So the blood paid the ultimate price for us, for you and I, all of us that are lost, that were lost in sin, and those that are still habitually sin. We still have sin. Every one of us still have sin in our flesh. The flesh is still filthy. The flesh is not clean. Understand, I want you to know that the flesh is not clean. That's why you see that we can preach and still we can go and do things that are contrary to God's work, or the flesh not clean. But we are pressing on each day in the sweet name of Jesus Christ, you know, for that day when we will be completely clean, 100% clean, when we meet him. If you don't know Jesus Christ, you want to get in line, you know, so that when that day comes, you can say, well, yes, I am saved, I'm sanctified, I belong to Jesus, and you can step into that line because now you're one of his children. Hallelujah. What makes you one of his children? As you have committed your life to him. You have accepted him as Lord and Savior. The Bible says so. Hallelujah. When you accept him and when you live, hallelujah, because not only accept him, now you got to live. You know, it's just like buying a house. You buy a house, you purchase a house, and the house is there, but you never go in the house. Nobody going to know the house belongs to you. You know, you got the piece of paper, but nobody going to know the house belongs to you because you never go in the house. Now, the house is smelly inside there. You don't open the windows or nothing. Nobody know the house belongs to you. Glory to God. You say you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, but you don't study the word. You don't go to the house of the Lord and worship in fellowship with the other believers. You know, the Bible said that we should not forsake the assembling with each other. So you don't go, and nobody going to know that you're saved. You got to connect. You got to connect, and you got to fellowship. The Bible says if you call upon him in repentance, you will be saved, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now you have to, everything that Satan has put in your life, Jesus shed his blood at Calvary so that you will have the right to the tree of life. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. The Bible says that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God commanded his love for us. Christ is the love of God. Hallelujah, glory to God. On the cross, God sent it to the cross to lay down his life for us. If you call upon him in repentance and ask him to have mercy, to forgive your sins, to cleanse you from all unrighteousness, and you make a decision to live a repented life, you will be with him in glory. See, because we say we repent, but if you don't live a repented life, you may still end good. It's a good chance you may still end up in hell.
Because without holiness, no one will see God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I declare and decree today, my brother, my sister, that if you call out on Jesus today, say, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner in need of a Savior. I believe all that the Scripture said, that you were crucified, that you died on the cross, and that the Father raised you up from the dead. And I confess this with my mouth right now, and I believe it in my heart. I know that you are able to save me and set me free. Hallelujah. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. With the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture says, whosoever, that means anybody who calls upon him, believes in him, will not be ashamed. See, when you know that Jesus truly died for you and that he rose again as proof that he is Lord and Savior, who was and is to come, you'll be saved. Denounce Satan. Say, Lord Jesus, I denounce Satan and all of his agents and this world system, all that it stands for. See, because once you put your trust in Jesus, Satan going to shoot every arrow that he can at you. Televisions, radios, cars, trucks, bus, motorcycles, all of those are arrows. Women, men, whatever he knows that you like, those are arrows he's going to shoot at you to distract you, to delay you, to take you out of focus so you don't want to study your Bible. You spend more time watching all the movies and all the stuff going on YouTube and Instagram and all these television game shows. But you won't want to put in 1 hour and a half or 45 minutes studying your Bible. Satan would do that. These are arrows that he shoot to distract us. You hear what I'm saying? You have to make up in your mind that you're going to connect with like-minded Christians, folk that are hungry and thirsty for righteousness, because you want to grow. You want to grow. I got people that text me every day, every morning, early, sending me stuff on Facebook to encourage me. Early in the morning, they send me stuff. People from all over the world, they send me stuff to encourage me, and I love it because it keeps my mind moving. Let me know I got a brother or sister in this other country, this other state that love the Lord, and they're sharing with me what they get from the Lord so I can keep growing. Connect yourself with people like-minded and study the Word of God. Study just means that go over and over and over until the word become part of your heart. Understand? You got to put it in order to take it out. If you don't put it in, you can't take anything out. It's just like your bank account. If you don't deposit any in your bank account, any money in your bank account, when it comes to time that you want to make a withdrawal, there will be nothing there. They said not sufficient. NC or NS, not sufficient funds. NSF, not sufficient, no sufficient funds. You don't want to see that. Then you go to God, if you're praying and spending time in the Word of God, when you go to him, you're going to talk to him through his Word. You're going to talk to him through his Word, not through your feelings or emotions. You're going to talk to him through his Word, and he will answer you. But if you're not putting in Word, if you're not getting the Word in you, you don't have anything to talk to God about. I don't want to hear nothing about your car, your motorcycle, all this foolishness, your house, your dog, your cat. He wants to hear about the Word. 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 Tell him about the Word. Lord, I want more of your Word. Your Word is good to me today. It has blessed me to just minister this Word today. Now today, my friend, you say, Lord Jesus, my heart is open. I've heard it. And now I'm coming to you just as I am for salvation, knowing that you are the only one, that you are the door to the Father. You are the door to the heavenly kingdom, and no one can enter in except through you, through the blood that you shed. Jesus, I believe all that the Word of God said about you. I believe that you are the Word, and the Word is you. I believe, God. So now I'm asking, Lord Jesus, to forgive me of my sins, cleanse me from all unrighteousness, put me in right standing with the Father. I accept you now, Lord Jesus, as my Lord, my Savior, and my soon coming King. Thank you for forgiving me of my sins. Thank you for saving me. I know I'm saved. Healing me, and I'm healed.
in Jesus' holy name. If you just said that on common prayer, you just received the gift of salvation. Now receive, get a Bible and begin to study Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, book of Acts, so you get a gospel understanding. Every time you open the Bible, invite the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, to make known the word, the truth of God's word. He'll open it for you so you can understand. He'll show you. Hallelujah. He'll explain to you in your spirit. Listen to him. Spend time quietness just listening to him and talking to him. Listen, talk to him and then listen. Listen to him talk back to you. He'll speak to your spirit. And then I want you to call up a pastor, preacher, somebody that know how to baptize according to Acts 2 and 38, and tell them you received the gift of salvation, but you're studying the word of God, you're putting the word daily, but you need to be baptized according to Acts 2 and 38 and Mark chapter 16, verse 15, 16, 17, and 18. You want to be baptized. You need to be baptized. But before you get baptized, invite your friends, your family, your co-workers, and even your enemies. Why? Because this is the greatest day of your life. This is will be your new baptismal day. Hallelujah. When you go down in the baptismal pool or at the beach, at the ocean, at the river, at the lake, oh God, wherever they baptize you, not sprinkling, nobody pouring no water or sprinkling no water on your head. You submerge. You're going down in the water. You're going to submerge, and then you're going to immerse. But you're going down in that water, glory to God, declaring that you're dying to this world system. You're dying to Christ Jesus. You're dying with Christ Jesus, you die into the world, letting the world depart from you, everything that the world, excuse me, Lord Jesus, not dying to Christ, but dying to the world, dying to the world system, everything that the world had on you, you're leaving in the water, and you're going down there and dying in there, and you're coming up out of that liquid grave alive to Jesus and with Jesus. I declare that you have received it. It is yours. Get with a church that's teaching and preaching the gospel and get yourself involved. Tell the pastor you want to be a part. Hallelujah. He may not say, well, come and preach, because you're not ready yet. But he might say, well, after a little while in there, he might make you a deacon, he may make you an usher, but you're doing something. If you not make, just start cleaning say, I'm going to clean and vacuum the office, vacuum the church, clean the pews, clean the altar. Do something. All that is ministry, okay? And get yourself involved. I just thank God for those. This word really stirred my spirit today. You see, I can't stop talking because the word stirred my spirit today, talking about call to repentance. And I pray that we all get into the habit of repenting every day, because we don't know when day he's coming. He said he's coming quickly. Remember, he said that. He said he's coming like a thief in the night. And he's coming upon you like a thief in the night. You don't know the hour. You don't know what hour he's coming, but he's coming like a thief. And we got to be prepared and we have to be ready. God bless you all. The line is open now for anyone that wants to respond. I'll go on mute for a minute. If not, we are just praying close up. Well, Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for this day. Thank you for the word that you've given us today. We ask you to bless the airways. Now, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit continue to rest and abide upon us. And surely goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our lives as we dwell here in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen.